You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is With Child. Go to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll talk about being with child. So, if you go back to the very beginning, and without going off on a little bit of a tangent here, let me just state it in case there's confusion about the confusion there is in the world. And this is going to be a strong thing to say up front. You can make anything legal, that don't make it right. Okay? Marriage from the beginning, and you say, well, you're going to offend some people. I've been doing that a long time, and if you're offended by the truth, that's not all bad. Marriage by design, and someone sent me a text recently, and it had puzzle pieces. And certain pieces fit in other pieces. And, you know, just by design, you say, well, what do you think goes where? Even kids can figure stuff out. This is a man, a woman. This is how it works. You can't make children without a man. You know, these parts, these functions, it's God designed. Now, unfortunately, children are conceived and not always involving intimacy. A physical act, yes, there can be a rape, there can be any just terrible situation, or medically things can be implanted, but God designed it ideally, or a man with a woman, and she ends up with child. All through Scripture, replete, that's the design. You say, but all these things, you know what, I'm not here to answer your questions about all the exceptions. I get that. It's a fallen world, and do we love people that see it differently? Yes. And ultimately, by the way, a person's worst problem is not whether they're confused about marriage and all these things. You say, well, they got to repent. They got to change from that. They've got to admit that they are a capital S sinner and be saved. And then the Holy Spirit has a way of changing your life. And we are all living proof of that because we have all not conquered all our issues that we had before we became Christians. So as religious people, sometimes we start with people's issues and say, well, if you clean all this up, then you can come to Christ. You can't back that up with Scripture. Amen. You come to Christ and he cleans all that up. And it is very messy and it makes people very uncomfortable. And we have people that come to this church with all kind of issues. Some issues are obvious and some are not so obvious, but we got all kind of people with issues, including me. Okay, so to start with the very beginning, the simple stuff, that intimacy, ideally intimacy between a man and a woman results at some time, the point was be fruitful and multiply. Reproduction was part of that process. So if you look at that and that was God's purpose and look at, we've replenished the earth. I mean, they're everywhere. Even after the flood, it kicked in again and here we are. It is a physical reproducing, women end up with child, and here we go, and they raise those children. And we'll get into all this as part of the message today. The same thing is true, and we'll try to end up with this, spiritually. You say, well, I've been born again. I'm like, that's good. You're going to make heaven. But what is your life going to be like? Our mission statement around here continues to be disciples making disciples. That's not going to change. It's the last thing Jesus said before he leaves. And it's about being a learner, a buddy of mine has pointed out, a learner, a follower, and the third thing, a reproducer. So at some point, your intimacy with God, now listen to me, if you are intimate with God in a spiritual sense, you will end up reproducing. You say, well, my life is not generating any fruit. I'm not multiplying. I don't see people saved. I'm not raising any kids. Then this sounds harsh, but I would question your intimacy. Because it is impossible to be intimate, and if part of the reason for being intimate is to reproduce, then that is going to come out of that process. So you say, well, no, but I spend a lot of time reading the scriptures and praying and doing all these things. I'm telling you, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. You spend time with him, that is going to change how you interact with the world, and eventually you're going to reproduce. Now let's look at some obvious stuff here in Matthew chapter 1 to begin with. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Even Mary got pregnant with a seed. The Holy Spirit comes over her, and Christ is planted inside the womb of a virgin, and she is with child. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, on that little phrase, that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what happens when you get saved, not in a physical sense, but a spiritual sense. You say, well, how can someone be born again? What are you talking about? It's a lot easier to believe in rebirth when you believe in virgin birth. Because you realize, okay, could God do something miraculous and plant a seed in a virgin and she give birth? Then if he can do that, then why can't he take you and plant a seed of the gospel in your heart and in your life, and all of a sudden you're with child, you are the child you're with, and he lives in you and through you, and we'll have some verses about that in a minute as well. And people say, well, you know, I still think God does miracles. Let me tell you, the greatest miracle he ever does is raising the dead, and that's me and you. You say, what about healing the sick? All the sick people Jesus healed are dead. All the people Jesus raised from the dead are dead. But all the people who got saved are alive. Here, if you haven't left the planet yet, and there, if you made it to the other side with Christ, you're alive. So it works. And it takes a lot of faith to believe that such a transformation could happen. But he plants that seed, and then that rebirth occurs. She will bring forth a son, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And the cool thing about being a Christian post the resurrection is that it is not a matter of God being with us. It is a totally different experience of God being in us. And it's hard to remember. I've been a Christian so long that I don't remember what it was like not having Christ literally in this body. And if you've never experienced that, you will never experience that without being born again. And having that presence of the Holy Spirit inside literally of your body. And if you're a new Christian and you know what it is to feel empty and hollow and like something, turns out someone is missing and he moves in, that changes, he changes everything. Now, I am not constantly aware of the presence of God in my life. It's not this bubbly, you know, goosebumpy feeling all the time. But I'm telling you, there are times when he makes himself known inside of me to protect me, to encourage me, to challenge me, to direct me. And there is no other explanation. It's not indigestion. It's not euphoria. It is the person of God living inside of me. And that is an extraordinary thing to have happen. And for men, there are things that men will never experience. And I'm fine with this. It's just the way it is. But women, you know, go through a lot, especially as moms. You conceive a child, the child grows, and all of a sudden there is movement. You have a living person inside of you. As a man, you know, a mom can say, put your hand right here, and you're getting kicked from the outside. She's getting kicked from the inside. You say, well, what's the comparison? When Christ moves inside of your life, inside of your body, you know he's there. And if you don't know he's there, you might question whether he's there. You say, well, I believe a bunch of stuff. You better make sure what you believe got Jesus to move in. Not just a bunch of ideas you've concocted. Be sure you are saved, that you have truly been born again, because when that happens, the person of the Holy Spirit indwells you as a human being. Go to Luke chapter 18. Now, I'm going to read you this and make a pretty broad statement, and I understand this may not hit everybody the same or even right, but there's something about Jesus I love. And he never married and never had any kids, but yet he's got millions of kids, brothers and sisters in himself. There's something about him. Look at verse 15. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. The only reason for bringing these little babies to him was just for God in the flesh to touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. In other words, get the kids away. And sometimes people think, you know, these kids, they're infants, they're little kids, get them out of here. They serve no purpose. You know what? They are picking up on stuff. They are learning, and the development of a child happens so early, and things that you cannot get back after a certain age. So they're rebuking, but Jesus called to them and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it." What does that mean? For children, it is very simple. You can deceive a child. You can lie to a child. You can tell them all kind of crazy stuff. And because you're the parent, they believe it. That can be misused, but it's also a powerful tool. And God is saying, don't get so sophisticated, so intelligent, so smart that you know everything. And you can't even trust God anymore. Now, whether this is good or bad, I watch people with kids. If you don't like kids, and this may sound very judgmental, there's a good chance you ain't gonna like me pretty soon. People that keep kids away or bothered by children, and let me tell you why it is such a huge deal. If you're irritated by irritating little children, you will not be able to disciple people you're supposed to be discipling because they are just as irritating as little children. And part of the process of being a Christian, and if you get up and running and mature and grow up, and we'll read about that in a minute, is that sooner or later, if you have intimacy with God, if it's working, you are reproducing as a Christian. And that means you have tiny little babies, pooping diapers, you know, just a mess. And I'm always stunned why people go, "Oh, that person became a Christian, and we got people in the room right here, right now, became Christians, and then they just went off. Went back to old stuff, still filling diapers. It's a mess." Of course it's going to be a mess. We all forget when we were kids. I've sat down with some men recently, and we're all talking about teenage kids. And it's as though these are a bunch of perfect men that just crawled out of a cave. Like, dude, what were you like at that age? They go, "Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, I was not so great." What do you think's going to happen to them? It's hard being a kid. It's hard learning. And what happens with little kids especially? You tell them over and over and over. Thank God for women, because men would kill most of the kids on the planet. And it takes patience. And so you see Jesus, bring the kids. Don't stop. Don't rebuke them. Don't keep them from coming. I want to be here. I love kids. You say, "Well, that's just you." No, that's him. That's him. You say, "Well, I don't have time for that. They're messing up my life. I don't want to have kids," because you have kids and you got this responsibility. That's discipleship. Now you say, "Well, I can't maintain that indefinitely." You don't have to. Sooner or later, they grow up if it's working and they go on with their own life and they have their own families, their own intimacy, and they reproduce and you look at them and go, "Wow, it's going on." That's what's supposed to happen. It's very intense up front. It cannot stay that way forever. And if it does, something's not working. One more, Galatians chapter 4. So I'm not going to take the time to read this whole thing, but it's very interesting. He starts out with an example in Galatians chapter 4 of a child and a slave being equal. If the dad has left everything to a child and there's a trustee basically over the child's life, then the kid has no more rights than a slave until it's of age and then takes ownership of everything and kicks in. So he's using this analogy down in verse 9. "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" Why would you go back to all that stuff? "You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain." Be careful what you go back to just because you're not moving forward with the good stuff. A lot of times people get saved and they start growing and then no one helps them or they don't keep growing and they fall back into whatever they got out of and go back and observe all kind of religious nonsense. Make sure what you're observing is in Scripture. You say, "Well, but I was raised with this. It's got to be right." It can be completely wrong. Just because you're raised with something doesn't make it right. Verse 12, "Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." And some speculate that Paul had some issue either permanently or for a while with his eyesight. And they loved him so much that, "Man, we'd do anything. We'd give you our eyes if we could, if that would help. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you." Now, this is what he talks about. He's going back now. Who is it that's after you for the wrong reasons? And this is very fascinating. Mature believers won't kick in and raise little newborn kids, but the places they come from, they're on you. "Oh, come back to us. We need you back here. Come believe all that nonsense we taught you." We don't want to lose members in our club. They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. Isn't it funny how we all want to get in a club, nobody will let us in? Oh, it's so hard. Oh, I want to get in. Oh, you can't. You got to abide by all these rules. You got to sign this. You got to do this. I'm telling you, be careful. It's not hard to get in Jesus' family. Hard for Jesus to make it possible, but it's not hard to get in his family. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can get saved just like that. Amen. Boom. Well, don't I have to fill out some paperwork and be under probation? None of that. Well, how long before I can get baptized? Right now. Wait, shouldn't I wait a year? Nope. You can't find a scripture for that anywhere. People got saved, got baptized. Well, what if they don't stick? It's impossible not to stick. You can go back, but you can't unstick. He will never leave you or forsake you. Keep reading this little section. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. Verse 19, my little children, and he literally sees them as his kids, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. So the way he describes it is these little kids that he has helped see reborn spiritually. And he says, for whom I labor in birth again. He says, I feel like you're going through all these struggles, and it's like I'm in labor, like I'm having a baby myself. And that's the feeling he's having until what happens? Until Christ is formed in you. In other words, I am so desperate, so passionate about seeing you grow up and Christ be formed inside of you so that he takes over, he lives. It's not you that live, it's Christ that lives in you. And the thing starts working the way it's supposed to. So if you have gotten to the place in the growth process where Paul is, then you are very aware. You see these people, you see these newborn Christians that maybe you've led to Christ or part of seeing their rebirth, and there's something that kicks in inside of you and says, my gosh, this is so painful to watch. I just want them to grow up. And you can't force it. You can't make it happen because they have to respond to the Spirit of God and the will of God and trust him and follow him and do the deal. Now, if you sit in here or somewhere beyond here and go, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. Labor pains for somebody, like they need to grow up. Like, what are you talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you are a little kid. That's not a bad thing. Unless you've been a little kid for 30 years. I'm fine with people being born again. I'm fine with infant new believers. I'm fine with toddler new believers. I'm fine with every stage of the process. But I am not fine if we go decades and there is no change. You can't back that up with anything but sin. Disobedience, sin. Now, I'll give you one thing that I think is part of the equation. You say, you know what? I'm doing the best I can with what I've got, and I'll give you that. Because sometimes you are doing what you got from the orphanage. So you say, well, I was born spiritually, and then nobody helped me. That's catastrophic. And you say, and I've been trying, and I read, and I study, and I need help. Listen, there are people in this church, some of them in this room, that if you would put on a piece of paper or come see me or whoever and say, look, I've done the best I can with what I've got. And I had a mom or I had a dad or, you know, something, but I had great parents in the physical, but I didn't have great parents spiritually. Do you have someone that can maybe help me? And the answer is yes. And then you sit down and somebody starts to raise you. You say, but I'm an old person. I'm 50, 60, 70 years. It doesn't matter how old you are in years. You could be 2 days old spiritually and be 80. You say, well, it's too late for me. You're breathing and you're listening still. You didn't get up and run out, so there's hope. How about Ephesians 4? Ephesians 4, and we'll go down to verse 11. Some people read this stuff and focus on, oh, these are the roles for people in a church. Oh, I see now. But they missed the point of the roles. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that we grow up completely. And where we start looking and sounding and living like Christ, as though he really were in us, living in us and through us. that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. But the point is to grow up. We've got kids in our church that I love dearly and am brokenhearted for their parents. One young man in particular, and he is not developing the way every other kid develops. And it's catastrophic. And no parent sits around dreaming, oh, I hope my child does not develop completely so they can stay home with me the rest of their lives. And so I'll have to care for them the rest of their lives. It's tragic. And yet we observe the same thing happening in our churches, and it's not tragic. It's just expected. We don't expect anybody to grow up. We expect us all just to be stuck. And every once in a while, someone catches something and, oh, well, they went all charismatic. No, they might have just grown up. And the norm has become stunted growth. Just, you know, doesn't get any better than this. All right, the last one is Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Now, you think, well, you just keep punching on us. I'm just showing you the potential future. If where you are is where you are, great. But I'm telling you, we are trying to move you. Like parents have kids and raise the kids to leave and have their own life. And you go, wow, look, it worked. Verse 12, Hebrews 5, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Like, we're just rehashing the basic stuff. You should be teaching it. You should be training somebody. And you have come to need milk and not solid food for everyone. So here's how you know the difference. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, this is different. You say, well, I know a ton of scripture and I can quote scripture. I am not interested in whether you can quote the recipes. I want to eat your food. Great, you can quote a recipe. Cook the meal. Show me how to cook the meal. The scriptures are the recipes. Show me how they work in your life. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food, who eats solid food, belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you use the scriptures, you get in a situation, you see it, and you go, oh, no, this is what that verse is about, good and evil, right and wrong. This is what God is trying to tell me to do. I choose this. And all of a sudden, you start looking like an adult.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
So, the disciples making disciples mission statement, this is how it works. At some point, you are going to end up with child if you grow up. There's no way around it. You say, no, I'm the exception. No, you're not. If you follow Christ, you will end up having intimacy with him, which will result in reproduction spiritually, and then you will have children to raise, and you will be with child. And you say, well, but if I get my kids raised, then I'm done, right? No, there's no end to this. You hit the finish line raising kids, or something is wrong. Now, if you say, well, I don't want to do that, well, at least you're being honest, but there's a price to pay with that. Then you're just going to exist. Oh, what are we going to do today for me to be happy? Oh, I want to be happy today. Oh, I want ease in Zion. I think I'll buy some property and go do nothing on that property. That's what I'll do. I'll travel, do nothing as I travel. I will rest. What are you tired of? Do something already that's in the book. Live. Be desperate to retire so you can spend all your time raising kids. Oh my gosh, I got all this time. I can reproduce. I've spent so much time with God. Now I can pour my life into these young people and leave a legacy that matters forever. that we've been baited by the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and all these things that don't matter and you can't take with you. Oh, I'll be so rested up when I see Jesus. Really? Hello, Jesus, I feel so good. I've spent the last 20 years sitting on my butt doing nothing. And I'd like my well-done, good and faithful servant now, if you please.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.